Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Benoit Bertrand, Vice President, Chief Technology Officer, Avanade. Benoit, you have a remarkable history, a significant impact in business, industry, and technology. Thank you for coming in today and sharing your considerable expertise, deep accumulated insights, and wisdom with our audience. Benoit, can you profile your extensive history prior to your current role and three valuable lessons you wish to share with these roles?
Yes. So I started my career about 18 years ago after graduating from University of Sherbrooke as an electrical engineer. The first 2 years I spent in the field of actually industrial automation, then switched over to software engineering with Accenture, actually formerly known as Anderson Consulting, where I worked on several large, complex, mission-critical projects in various industries as a developer, a designer, an architect, and project manager, and that for over an eight-year period. In 2002, I actually transferred over to Avanade to launch Avanade Canada. I was the first solution architect of the company. I was part of the architecture team of the first release of our Avanade flagship asset, which is called ACA. During that period, I'm also very proud to have done work in the healthcare space in the province of Ontario. I was the chief architect for the wait time solution. This solution was awarded a prestigious CIPA award, so Canadian Information Productivity Award, a Diamond Award actually, which I'm very happy to have contributed to. Continuing with my health and life science expertise, I was a guest speaker at several Microsoft Health conferences as well. So, and then continued on to work on other projects after that. In 2006, as a senior director, I was responsible for creating a new workforce and launching actually the Montreal Delivery Center. So that was a nearshore option for our North American customers. I was also responsible for managing the operations of that delivery center, which employed over 25 employees and overall accountability for all projects delivered at the center. So the center was profitable in the first year, generated over $5 million in revenue per year. And then I went on in 2009, was promoted to a senior executive role and was assigned to manage a large business and technology transformation program for a major financial institution in Canada. And finally, last year in September, I took on the role of CTO for Canada. And I'm happy to say that this year, Avanade Canada is having a phenomenal growth, forecasting to finish at 40% growth over last year, FY10. And we have hired over 90 employees since September 2010. So great stuff. So in terms of lesson, I'll give you actually three, depending on the role I've played throughout my career. I think as an engineer or a solution developer early in my career, I think one of the key things I've learned is really to focus on quality. There's a say that you're only good as your last delivery. So I think this is something like everybody starting their career and throughout their career needs to focus on, so the quality of the solutions you build. As a solution architect, so that was much later in my career, so that was, I think, one of the key things is to strive to architect solutions with simplicity in mind. Too often I've seen like very complex architecture that just don't deliver, so simplicity in mind. As a program manager, so one thing I've learned was to have a clear separation between commercial responsibilities and delivery responsibilities. So these are the three things that I can say I've learned throughout my career, and then probably I'll learn more as a CTO. This is my first year in that role.
Now, you described your Avanade flagship asset, the ACA. What is that?
So ACA, so Avanade Connected Architecture, what that is actually an application framework that our customers use to accelerate delivery of custom applications. So this asset actually has been around since 2001, has evolved with the Microsoft stack. It was the Microsoft .NET framework. So actually, one interesting fact about that is actually Microsoft licensed this asset and created what is known as Enterprise Library in the market. So we continue to actually, in these days, we continue to augment this asset, and we stay ahead of the curve and also stay compatible with the Enterprise Library. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, can you profile your current role? And you've talked about it already already a bit, and the value you are delivering through your products and services.
So I'll give you the CTO team's mission that I've created for this year, and that will evolve. And really, our mission is to increase Avanade Canada's market share by empowering the regional sales team that we have across Canada with innovative and competitive solutions, by leveraging our global industry solutions, because we've got a global technology and solutions group at Avanade globally, also leveraging our technology experts, so the people that actually do delivery in front of our customers, our global offshore center of excellence, and also our strategic partnerships and alliance. It's all about putting all these things together. Avanade offers solutions and services in the following areas. So application development, including enterprise integration, lifecycle management, e-commerce. So customer relationship management, enterprise resource planning, so ERP, technology infrastructure, business intelligence, collaborations and enterprise content management, and outsourcing. So both sides of things. So really my goal is to have offerings in all these areas, which is quite broad. Very, very interesting.
So then in your current role, what are your top challenges and top opportunities?
So here's my top thing. So you've seen the breadth of our offerings. So one of the key things that is a challenge for me and my team really is to keep up to date with all the evolution, the quick evolution of the Microsoft stack, and also the ISV ecosystem. Because the products, they get richer and richer, and they get released at an extremely fast pace, and that will only get worse over time. So the flip side of things as well is, as Avanade, we are very focused on Microsoft technology. We really need to understand who are the competitors and what are the differentiators from our side. So all that is a challenge on its own. Another one would be, I think, growing the next generation of enterprise architects and leaders. This is another part of my role that I take very seriously. And another challenge we're finding in the market is to find new exceptional talent. So Avanade is extremely selective, and then finding the jewels is becoming extremely difficult. Like, as you know, like the universities, the number of graduates in this field is diminishing, unfortunately, and really this is becoming quite of a challenge in this market. In terms of opportunities, I mean, one of the cool things that I love about my job is to drive technology innovation, and there will always be room for that. Defining growth strategies. This is a key part of my role. And overall improving our solution selling effectiveness.
Now, in terms of your current projects, what one lesson can you share from each of your major ones?
So I'll talk about strategic IT roadmap projects. So I recently got involved in a few strategic IT roadmap projects, and they are the most stimulating and interesting projects in my mind. And I think the lessons from that, from those projects, is that actually we need to do much more of those initiatives at Avanade. And this will be a key FY12 objective for my enterprise architect. I mean, for me, this is the best partnering approach with our customer. These initiatives, they combine with our strong project delivery track record, make our customer, we call them more orange customers. Our customers realize that the journey with us is extremely exciting, rewarding, and we help them deliver results. That's what I can say about one of the recent project experience. Because most of my time I spend not necessarily on customer-facing projects, but those I've done a few lately.
Now, what specific technologies should business and IT executives be embracing today and into the future?
Yeah, so what I will say is that every one of those that I will name have a cloud dimension to them, okay? And more I see mobility being one of them. I mean, the emergence of the tablet, I think, will radically change the way business is conducted in many industries, the whole mobile space and the new form factors. It actually brings challenges to the IT departments, but I think this is an area that will definitely be shaping the future, and that people need to start thinking today, and I see that from my customers. What I call XRM, so basically the famous product from Microsoft Dynamics CRM, which I think should change its name. I think the power of this platform is untapped, and people need to understand that this is really a development platform as well for line of business applications. So I think that This will radically change the speed at which we are able to roll out line of business application to this platform. Another one that we'll see a lot, and I think I'm seeing a lot of renewed interest in this space, is collaboration and enterprise content management. I think there was some challenge in the last couple of years around governance with those platforms. I think we'll see a next wave in this space that will basically, together with the social media, will totally change our lives. Everything around what we call elastic data center. So basically computing resources on demand. And actually that's at the forefront of the cloud technology. And I think one thing that I will definitely see with the new generation of kids coming on board and going on the market, I think the user experience aspects of our applications that exist today, I think we will see a radical shift. So I think the way the application presents themselves today will totally be different in the future, and we'll see a lot of innovation in that space.
Now, you have this role as Chief Technology Officer, but you're also a Vice President. And in what ways do these leadership roles differ, and what are some of the leadership tips you can pass on to the audience?
Yeah, really, at Azenet, actually, it's being a vice president is a level in our organization, and the CTO is really my function. So really, they're not different. So what I can say about the leadership tip, and this is something that I really apply on a daily basis, is one is lead by example. My direct reports and my colleagues and the employees working for Avanade Canada, I mean, I need to be an example for them. They need to look up me as a role model. I think another leadership tip would be rewarding entrepreneurship. So I think in our business, like making innovation, being entrepreneurial is key, and that is part of our DNA at Avanade. Teach your team how to take calculated risks, be another leadership advice. Encourage work-life balance. That is kind of key. I mean, people who do not do that actually over time become not really as productive as they can, not as happy. And then we're in a consulting business, it's a people business, so we need to make sure our people are could continue to be happy in their career, in their life. And lastly, I think building a succession plan for a key individual in our organization is another thing that, as a leader, I must make sure happens.
Now, let's move on to some questions about a recent survey you did on cloud computing. So these questions will be all about this survey and about cloud computing. Now, why was Canada amongst the slowest cloud adopters, I should say, in 2009, but in 2011 were in the top three?
Yeah, that was very interesting. Really, 74% of Canadian companies versus 60% of global companies say cloud computing is a top priority. So having Canada leading the charge from an IT perspective, saying this is a top priority, I think this is something that helped us move on top. I think the Canadian companies have continued investing in innovation in the recent economic downturn as opposed to certain other countries. I think the Canadian companies understand the cloud more than ever, because they have invested in how the cloud can be leveraged. We have to also understand that the top application in the cloud today, that companies have moved to the cloud, have a manageable risk profile. So we're talking about email, CRM, collaboration. So we're not looking at core mission-critical application in general. I think also there's a better understanding of the details about the Patriot Act. That's something that scared a lot of the companies, Canadian companies, before. So we see less resistance to move to the cloud, especially companies that do business already. So Canadian businesses that do business in many countries and have dealt with cross-border implications already. Although I continue to see resistance in certain verticals like healthcare, public sector, financial services. And this is why, for example, like Avanade Avanade, we offer many flavors of cloud services. Like, we've got the Microsoft Cloud that we help people move to. We've got an Avanade Cloud offering. We've got an Avanade Canadian Cloud offering. And you've seen probably in the survey as well, is many companies are opting for private cloud.
So why do 20% of those surveyed purchase a cloud service without the IT department's knowledge, and what are the implications?
Yes, we see that. So it's, I think it's all about realizing results at the speed that is required in today's dynamic market. So another key point here is, right, 60% of the folks within that 20%, they say it just takes too long to go through IT. And then 40% say that they have policies that prohibits them from using the cloud service they want to use, right? So that's kind of an issue. So another thing is, one of the major implications of that, okay, people actually going ahead and buying cloud, is that we are now seeing what at Avanade we call cloud sprawl, which is like unmanaged growth of the public cloud services in the enterprise. So all of a sudden, employees like are starting now to have like multiple corporate identities in the cloud, again unmanaged. Thing else I want to say about this is that 77% of the Canadian companies today report that they do have in place policy, right, that prohibit such action, meaning like go off and purchase the cloud. But really what we're seeing is there's no real deterrent for purchasing these cloud services without authorization. Actually, in fact, like 29% report that there's no ramification whatsoever for doing that.
So then what should IT departments do about this?
Yep. So actually what we're saying at Avanade is that they need to manage crawl sprawl, and we've got like five key things that we think they should start doing, which is one, define and clearly communicate a cloud strategy, conduct a cloud audit. Okay. So understanding what's out there, create an application roadmap to the cloud. Third thing, communicate the strategy and the positive implication of moving to the cloud. Because again, what we're seeing is that 25% of the executive, the IT executive, don't have open communications with the departments that are buying cloud services. So communication is key. And lastly, I think it's enforcing the decision and the policy. So, because right now, as I said, there's no enforcement of those. So I think that's what they should be doing, and we can help.
And while in the news, I'm constantly hearing about, you know, cyber terrorism, cyber security issues, break-ins, hacking. I mean, can you comment on the current state of security in terms of the cloud, and what are the challenges and timeframes for improved security?
I think actually security in the cloud is actually much stronger than many internal IT security systems. So the fact that those clouds are public might get more publicity, but they need to be more secure than anything else because of that. And in fact, actually, in some instances, moving to the cloud allows companies to improve security because their own security is very weak. So that's an interesting point. Again, as discussed earlier, controlling crawl sprawl is a key for enterprise to regain control of the enterprise identity management, which is a key security component. I think IT must take the appropriate steps actually to facilitate the integration of the on-premise security to the cloud. Facilitate the on-premise security with the integration to the cloud. So the coexistence of cloud and on-premise is a reality. And, I think by having, like I said, the strategy to make sure these security concepts get implemented is kind of key. And I think, it's time to act now.
So what's the current state of training for cloud services, and what do the stats indicate?
So again, as I said, like Canadian companies actually above the worldwide companies have been investing. So 80% of Canadian companies versus 64 for global have been investing in training for new and current employees. So training for, I mean, that's great. So people are investing, companies are investing in training. Like 30% of, so 80% of the Canadian companies say they've invested more than 30% of their annual IT budget. They will spend over 30% on cloud computing. So what does it mean? It means that basically I think there's greater pressure now to innovate versus cut costs, and that will help the cloud adoption.
You've touched on some of this already, but what are the pros and cons of using a private versus public cloud?
Yep. So another thing we've noticed is like I said, Canadian companies are adopting cloud, the private cloud versions, and the ones who are not, they are in the next 34% of the ones that are not are looking in the next 12 months to go cloud. I think cloud is a key differentiator from a business perspective. And before saying what's the pros and cons versus private and public, it's important to understand the definition of cloud, because that's a key thing. Is public cloud really? It's about infrastructure, platform, software offered and run in a shared environment that has multi-tenant, so multi-customer using it. The private cloud, basically, it's a service, infrastructure, platform, software offered and run in an environment dedicated to a single customer, right? So there's two types of, actually, private clouds take two forms. So on-premise clouds, private cloud, which is the cloud that are hosted by the customer themselves, and the off-premise private cloud, which is a private cloud that is hosted outside customer premise. And there's two concepts that are implied with cloud. So one is a concept of pay-per-use model. So you only pay for what you use. And another concept is self-serve. So what we find is actually that most companies that says they have private cloud don't necessarily have those two concepts figured out. So pay-per-use and self-serve. And this is very interesting when we think about private versus public cloud.
Maybe controversial areas, and I've seen some of this in the media and publications, and some talk about this even at TechEd in Atlanta, Georgia in May, and that is, what impact does the cloud have on IT professionals who are non-developers?
So to me, this question is very, it's likely aimed at IT infrastructure resources, where actually most of the IT infrastructure people I talk to, the non-developer people, they view cloud actually as a threat to their job. And this is particularly true to the smaller organization. To some extent, I think it's a reality, because for many, I think the profile of the IT infrastructure person will change. It will be more focused on managing cloud vendors, on managing associated SLAs, very focused on security and data privacy. So it's no longer about managing servers. It's going to be about these things. I think, but for larger organizations who are implementing, for example, private cloud solutions, I think the focus will be more on automating the management of the infrastructure. And if we go back to the two concepts I talked about, is pay-per-use and self-serve, it's going to be making sure that these concepts get introduced. So that's my thinking on the impact of non-developers.
And then how does the cloud impact developers?
Well, in this space, I think the era of, I've been a developer in my past life, like I said, so I think the era of waiting days and weeks to get a development environment are over. I think, and a good example of that, at Avanade, we've got something called Avanade Dynamic Computing Services. It's really a private cloud that we have internally, where in a couple of hours, so you fill out a form, for what you need from a development environment perspective. In a couple of hours, the environment is there, ready, provisioned, and we can start actually doing productive work as a developer. So that's one. I think second is now actually the types of solution now that's available to the developer has increased, because you don't develop the same way for non-cloud application that you do for cloud application. So I think it's another set of challenge for developer. I think Microsoft is helping by having very solid tools to facilitate development, but this allows a little bit more, again, another portfolio of solution in the hands of developers. So actually, it's pretty cool.
You know, cloud is sort of a buzzword right now, and, you know, sort of on everybody's mind, and you've also indicated that there's high take-up here in Canada, and it's on the surveys that there's a lot of feedback on the cloud. So what are your predictions about the cloud?
To me, again, there's a couple of things, right? So technology investments are going up in that space. Again, it's all about pressures to innovate and grow, less about cost cutting. Second, the executive are saying that cloud computing is top of mind in terms of priority. Thirdly, cloud computing is maturing in the enterprise. So, and we see that by the increased investment and by also the growing adoption, by also, interestingly enough, seeing solutions that are now revenue generating for companies. So fourthly, I think we need to be aware of the proliferation of cloud services, so the cloud sprawl I was talking about. We believe that companies need to take more decisive action to capitalize on the cloud advantage. This would be my five predications.
Now, I mentioned this earlier about all of these news items that you see about security issues and service outage. In fact, it seems like every week some new item comes up on the news, and it creates a little bit of concern amongst small, medium, and large enterprises. So what are your answers or solutions to these reported problems?
So one really clear one, that was the Amazon cloud breach, that really kind of showed the importance of really choosing what application companies need. So choosing what application needs to be migrated to the cloud. So not every application within the enterprise is a good fit at this time to be migrated to the cloud. So it's all about managing risk, I believe. And people need to pay special attention to that. They need to think about what risk level, again, they are comfortable with on an application-by-application basis. If I tie this back to having a well-defined cloud strategy, that's very important. Okay, so importance of planning how we go to the cloud. That's what I have to say on that.
Now, let's switch to some broader questions. In general, can you make some predictions about the future and their implications and how we can best prepare?
Yeah, for me, that's a cool topic as a CEO. So the future for me is all about accelerated innovation. So I think with new business models, heavily leveraging cloud-based solutions, with elevated expectation, again, around user experience, I've touched on that, significant increase in demand for mobile solutions on different devices. The virtual concepts will become ubiquitous, so virtual app stores, virtual media library, virtual collaboration. We're now seeing virtual industrial management, so managing of plants remotely and dashboards. We've got actually very interesting industry solutions around that. I think the best way to prepare is, again, it's back to having the discipline to create a 3 to 5 year IT strategy with clearly defined initiatives that align to the business priorities. I think the strategy must strike a balance between the tactical initiatives and the forward-looking initiatives. You want to be ahead of the game. And I think the execution of that strategy must be well managed and the outcome measured. So both and allow for course corrections when needed. I think it's totally normal to adjust a strategy over time. And I think, I mean, Avanade is a partner of choice to help with the creation of that strategy and to deliver on it.
Now, there's this organization called the International Federation for Information Processing. They were founded by the United Nations, and they're the official consultative body for the United Nations Educational, Scientific, Cultural Organization on IT. And they're a sector member for the International Telecommunications Union. They're an associate member of the Science Council and so on. Anyways, this organization called IFIP, and they've been producing something called the World Computing Congress, almost like the Olympics of computing every 2 years. And in this year, they also have something called the World CIO Forum, where they're bringing together senior academics, industry leaders, government people, and also senior IT executives and CIOs. And bringing them together and sort of in one forum. So why should IT executives attend such a forum like the IFIP World CIO Forum?
So actually, I didn't know about this organization, so thanks for pointing that out to me. I did some research on it, and from my perspective, like, forums like this are awesome and excellent ways for networking with peers in the industry. There's some great speakers there. I think even you're one of them, so that's perfect. And that's something I will look at for sure in more detail.
Now, what are your thoughts on computing as a recognized profession, like in medicine, law, engineering, accounting, with demonstrated professional development, adherence to code of ethics, and recognized credentials?
That's an interesting one. Actually, in Canada, there is in the engineering, because I'm an engineering by formation, so there is now software engineers that graduate, which are part of the engineering society, so that is a profession. So making it this broadly is a very interesting concept, and I think it helps. It helps having a body that regulates. It will actually probably help govern our industry. I've not put many more thoughts on that particular topic, but it's definitely something I will start following. See how this organization evolves and where that's going to lead us. But I know in Canada there are people that graduate with a degree that is part of our corporate, that is part of that are regulated. Yeah.
Benoit, we're going to sort of turn the tables here. I've been asking all the questions. Now, I must have missed some that you want to be asked. So if you were conducting this interview, what questions would you ask, and then what would be your answers?
So one is, I mean, maybe when I've asked, like, why did Avnet conduct this research? So I think Avnet is a thought leader in the cloud space. I think 3 years ago, I think we were among the first IT services firm to actually start to conduct a market research around the perceived business value of cloud, the potential pitfall of cloud computing as an emerging technology. So at that time, cloud computing was truly something that people were very hesitant to adopt. So that's why we commissioned this study to kind of understand the trends and the adoption cycle in that space. So as business technology service providers, cloud is important to us and to our customers. So we need to know how to answer to our customer requests. So that would be one. And another thing that we'd probably ask is what are the cloud solutions and offering that Avanan has in this space? And we're thought leaders in that space. So we help our customer with cloud strategy. We help our customer implement infrastructure as a service. So the concept of Elastic Data Center, that is touch base and the tenants of an Elastic Data Center. We're helping our customers develop cloud application, manage cloud application, and like I said, our different cloud flavors, right? We help our customers move to the Microsoft Cloud, now Office 365 that just launched this week. We have our online Avanan online cloud services that for hosting CRM, Microsoft CRM, and also we have a few months ago announced our cloud ERP, so hosting Microsoft Dynamics AX. So I think these are kind of the two ones that I would have asked, but overall, you've asked pretty good questions.
Well, you know what? I'm going to inject a third question then.
Okay, go.
Okay, Benoit, where do you want to be personally in 5 years?
Where do I want? So Avanan is a very large global organization, as you probably know. So for sure, this was my first year as a CTO, and I really want to make an impact on the Canadian business. So I think at least I've got another couple of years in this role to achieve my very aggressive goals. And after that, I'll probably look at within Avanan at a more of a global role. So we'll see where I will be, but that would be my ambition.
I see. So in 5 years, I could be saying, welcome to this interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an interview with Benoit Bertrand, I should say, CEO of Avanan Global.
That could be an option, yeah.
Hey, you're not going to rule that out, right? Well, Benoit, I know you're really, really busy. It was really hard to kind of nail this time down because I know you have such a demanding schedule because of all the talent you have and all the projects you're driving. So thank you for coming in today to do the interview and sharing your substantial wisdom with our audience.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Benoit Bertrand, Vice President, Chief Technology Officer, Avanan.